Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with a golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday morning, May the 26th, 2026. How about that? 5-26-26. There are some lotto numbers for you. 18 and a half minutes past the hour. Back with you after the Memorial Day holiday break. Hope everybody had a wonderful Memorial Day. I know I did. It was a fun time. Good Memorial Day weekend. Want to do a little bit of housekeeping here this morning as we kick off the program, and then we'll move on to other things. The first thing I want to say is I went to McDonald's this morning, which I had not done as a morning ritual for the last 3 days because I have not been on the air. So I went to McDonald's this morning, and the first thing I saw when I pulled up there this morning was an ambulance. Now, I don't know what was going on there this morning. Hopefully, it was nobody sick or anything like that. But when you pull up to McDonald's the day after Memorial Day, and the first thing you see is an ambulance, it gives you call for alarm. But I don't think anything was bad. Nobody seemed to be upset. And now that school is out, this is the three-month period of the year in which, if you go to McDonald's prior to 8 o'clock in the morning, there is hardly anybody there. You notice if you go there every day, you notice the difference drastically. I guess if you go the same time every day. But in the summer, there is no line. Also, as I was turning on Route 95 this morning, it's kind of difficult usually down by Meyer because of Tri-Rivers being in session and River Valley High School being in session. There's a lot of traffic that comes from that way. This morning, no problem at all. So it is summertime now for a lot of kids who are now out of school and graduated, and the lines at McDonald's are shorter. So I guess I'm willing to overlook the ambulance that was there this morning. So hopefully nobody was hurt. Now, the other thing, I like to bring these things up. Last week, I got a letter in the mail. I think it was Thursday or Friday. And the return address said Frank LaRose, Ohio Secretary of State. So I'm thinking maybe this has something to do with voting, you know, some reminder about voting. Who knows? So I open this up, and it's a card. And on the inside, it says, Scott, it was great speaking with you after Election Day. I enjoyed catching up and appreciate your interest in the work I'm doing. A thriving democracy relies on informed voters, which is why the work you and your colleagues do is imperative and why your profession is protected by the First Amendment. I look forward to speaking with you again. Please stay in touch. Yours in service, Frank LaRose. Now, again, a few weeks ago, I got a note very similar from Sherrod Brown after I did the interview with him. And I think these things are nice. Now, does it mean I asked Frank LaRose easy questions? I don't think so. Does it mean these people know who I am or we are friends? No, I don't think it does. But it's just nice when you send a thank you card like that. I think that this is the difference between running a good campaign and a bad campaign. And I just wanted to mention Mr. LaRose's name, our Secretary of State, much like I mentioned Sherrod Brown. You know, that is as balanced as you can get. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. So, you know, Republican or Democrat, we all know how to send thank you notes. So I thank Mr. LaRose for that. Okay, what else is on the agenda here this morning? Well, now, I'm just going to bring this up, our last bit of housekeeping here. Yesterday, I was doing some things, and I got kind of busy, and I realized it was getting late in the evening. It was probably after 7 o'clock. And I thought, you know, I really have not eaten anything today, and I just want to grab something quick. I don't want to cook anything. So I decided that I was working on some projects yesterday. I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to order a pizza. So I called up and I ordered a pizza, and apparently nobody was at the pizza places because the pizza would be ready in like 10 minutes. So I went and got the pizza, and I got a beverage, and I brought the pizza home, and I did not intend to do this. I got pizza and bread with the pizza. I ate the whole pizza over the course of the evening. Now, this is not something you're supposed to do, but I guess I was hungrier, or more hungry, however you want to say it, than I thought I was. But it was a delicious pizza. I don't eat pizza very often. I'm glad I did it. Although, after you eat a whole pizza over the course of an evening, you do realize when you go to lay down to go to sleep that you're a little off kilter. You know, this has happened with pies before. You know, because I don't eat pies very often. But if you get a good pie and you take that first bite of a pie over the course of a day and you're not really going in and out anywhere, you can eat the whole pie. That has happened before as well. And I guess pizza is considered a pie in a lot of places. So, you know, the pizza went down yesterday. Now, one final bit of housekeeping, and then we're going to get to the drama of Marion, as there always is. Okay, every Memorial Day, I like to tell the Memorial Day cookout story from years ago. This is something we do on all the cookout holidays, July the 4th, Labor Day, Memorial Day. So we do this every year. So I feel it's encumbered upon me to tell this story. I'll tell this story, then we'll get to the drama of the day. Okay. And we've got two dramas today, so this will be really good. Here we are. The Memorial Day story. I know you've been waiting for it since Labor Day of last year. Years ago, I was having a cookout. It may have been Memorial Day. And I had a small grill. And it turns out that a lot more people were showing up to this cookout than I thought I was going to have. So a friend of mine said, hey, I have a normal size grill. Why don't I just bring that over to your house and we'll use that grill? And I said, sure, if you don't have to do that, but if you want to do that, absolutely fine. So they went to their house, loaded up the grill in their car, because I did not have a car that was able to transport a grill, loaded up the grill in their car, and they brought the grill to my house. And we had a wonderful, wonderful cookout. Everything was fine. Everything was great. Everybody was happy. Everybody left okay. And when it was over, I said, now, do you want to take the grill back to your house? And they said, no, don't worry about it. We'll get it down the road. Okay, that's fine. Now, we probably did use the grill a couple more times at my house, but it was not very often at all. So, actually, a couple years passed, because we do have winter where people aren't really grilling out. I'm going to say a couple years passed, and nothing, and I'm talking about never a word was said about this grill. Nothing. It was never brought up. It was never talked about. Nobody ever said anything. And it was just sitting in my garage. It was certainly not something I was using every day. So one day, a couple years later, had to have been 2 years later, the person out of the blue one day, we weren't talking about grilling, told me how angry they were that they had not been able to grill out at their house because I had the grill at my house. And I said, well, you could have gotten it any time. I mean, this person was at my house probably 5 to 7 days a week. I said, well, you know, you can take it any time. It's your grill. It's not my grill. Why haven't you said anything? And they said, well, it's just been hurting me and bothering my feelings and so on. And I'm thinking, why did you never say anything? I can't transport this grill to your house because I don't have a means of transportation to do so. But if you have a means of transportation to get this to your house, or you have somebody who will take it to your house, you can have it. It's your grill. There's no denying that. It's your grill. Now, they actually got teary-eyed over this and kept bringing it up for like 2 or 3 weeks, how I had hijacked their grill. And every time they brought it up, I said, it's not my grill. Come get it. Take it. I don't want you to go off the deep end in any kind of depression or anxiety because I have your grill. I'm not using it. Take it. Well, they never came and got it. And to this day, I still have the grill. Now, I pray to God that this person has got another grill, because this seemed like the fulcrum of sanity in their life at the time when I was having this conversation, that I had had their grill for a couple years. So I pray to God they've got another grill. And every time I see that grill now, I think of this story, and I think of the trauma that it caused. So again, this is a lesson learned, and I don't want to say anything highly negative about this person, because on the whole, they were normally an okay person, although I do think they have some character flaws as time has went on, and I think they have presented themselves. But I have to believe that this whole grill situation was an absolute character flaw. And you should really work on your character flaws. That's all I'm saying, and that's the grill story, and we'll leave it at that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, I've talked for 12 minutes already, just on a little bit of housekeeping here. We got the letter from Frank LaRose. I've told my annual grill story, which I do every grilling holiday. You'll get to hear it again around July the 4th. And I guess we've talked about the ambulance at McDonald's this morning on Route 95. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Before we get into the two kerfluffles of the morning, and we do have two big kerfluffles, you know, couldn't have a Memorial Day weekend without any kerfluffles. Go ahead, caller.
What brand is the grill? I need to know about this grill.
You know, I'm going to have to check. That's how little I've paid attention to it over the years. I'm not even sure what brand it is.
Is it a charcoal grill or is it a gas grill?
It's a gas grill.
Okay. So, are you interested in offloading this grill?
Well, you know,
I mean, apparently it's yours now. You could sell it if you want.
Well, see, it may be mine. I don't know when this person might ever show back up. It's been a few years now, though.
Do you still speak with them?
No, because, see, now here's another point to this story, and I don't want to get in.
It just gets stranger every time you tell it. I mean, not that I don't believe you, it's just that someone is so reactive over a grill that they abandoned.
No, I swear that this is the way it happened. And
I believe you. I just don't understand why this person is so emotional about something they left behind.
Well, here's the funny thing. They, at the time that, okay, I'm going to say, I'm going to put a time frame on it. I'm going to say it was at my house for 2 years. From the time they initially offered to bring it over. I mean, and they brought it over. I didn't go pick it up. And the time that they brought up that it had been ruining their life that I had it. Like 2 years passed. And I'm going to say during that time, they were at my house on average, probably 5 to 7 days per week. And they never brought it up. It was never spoken about. Nobody ever said anything.
Borrow grills, you know, like we have more than one grill, so I've taken one so they can use it at their cookout or whatever, and typically the situation is dirty or hot, and you don't want to take it with you that night. And I've left grills at people's houses for months and been like, hey,
yes.
I just remembered, you got my charcoal grill. Can I come get it?
Yes, absolutely. And 2 years passed, and it was never spoken about. And
that's
then,
their problem, not yours, dear.
Well, no, but it was the veracity of one day, 2 years later, that, I mean, I think they cried, honestly, to be honest. I think there were tears in the eyes because they were telling me how much they love to grill out. And
they
how
got that grill for Father's Day or Mother's Day or their birthday or something.
I don't. Yeah. What? No, I do remember them telling me that they had saved up to buy it. Now, I do remember that. And
well, I would really be at your house then. I mean, if I had worked,
well, yes,
and, you know, set aside excess money to get the thing. I mean, grills aren't cheap, so I'm not trying to dismiss anyone on that one. We just happen to have accumulated ours over the years and bought them on sale and that sort of thing. But, Yeah, grills aren't cheap, so I certainly would have been coming back just for that reason alone, especially a propane grill.
Well, I think what makes this a character flaw story is that 2 years, and literally never a word about it, never a word, and then one day, with tears almost, it was, I haven't been able to grill out because you've got this here, and I spent, saved money to buy it.
The men are vegans, single-handedly by keeping their grill.
And I said, take it. I said, it's not mine. We know it's not mine. Take it. And they wouldn't take it. And I'm still not sure why. Maybe they didn't have a way to haul it. I don't know. I didn't have a way to haul it. And I think, and then it just kept coming up for like 2 or 3 weeks. And by that point, I thought, you know, there's really, I don't like to use terms.
It wasn't a joke anymore, is what you're saying.
Well, it wasn't a joke, but it wasn't, I don't think it ever was a joke. When they, in tears, were telling me that I've ruined their life because I have their grill.
If you won't come get the grill, that's their own fault.
No, but you know.
That's incredibly dramatic. I mean, now, if I've asked you a few times, hey, can I come get my grill, and you blow me off or whatever, okay, then you kept my grill or you're stealing my grill or whatever, but if I don't make arrangements to come get it, how can I complain?
No, and they were still, at that point, they were still coming quite a bit during the week, and I,
having visitation with their grill.
Yes,
and
I,
you can come use the grill anytime you want. Just bring meat. We'll have a nice meal.
I thought, take it. Take the grill. And to me, this is why this is an odd story. And to be honest with you, now so many, I mean, 2 or 3 years have passed, so it's not even really about the person anymore. This is a story.
No, the fact that you still have the grill is strange. I don't mean that you kept it. I meant that those never came to retrieve it.
No. And this person now, I believe, as I look back on it, I believe it's just a series of character flaws, because now this person and I, if I see them, they do not speak to me. And this is
wow.
This is probably the only person in life, honestly, that if I see them in public, will not speak. Now, I have to believe that this is emblematic of a bigger character flaw, but I think it did start with the grill.
That is interesting that someone is willing to give up. You said they were at your house nearly daily.
Oh,
someone's
constantly
willing to give up a friend. Well, I don't know, an acquaintance in your world.
That's right. Keep
because they wouldn't come retrieve a grill. So let's get to the gossip.
Oh,
good
Lord.
Stuff. The hullabaloos.
Oh, there's a couple
What'd
of them.
What'd you hear? I heard they're trying to rent. Well, I didn't hear they're trying. Well, they're still trying. I heard they want to rent Rite Aid to where the new fire station was going to be. That's
yeah.
What their special meeting is about tonight.
Yeah, this
wait
is
a
one.
Minute, that's a good will.
Well, this is a kerfluffle, one of the kerfluffles. And I don't.
What's up with that, Spears? Why? That's insanity.
Well, I don't really understand this. And for the listening audience, I guess, that doesn't understand this, it's my understanding that all of a sudden, out of the blue,
there's a special meeting tonight at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. at City Hall, and tonight there'll be a full council meeting at 6:30. But
because they're going to ram it through, and then they're going to hear it at full council.
Yeah, but here's the odd thing. For people listening, what this is the Rite Aid that was purchased by the taxpayer dollars for the fire station.
Let's say our fire levy. The levy money.
Okay.
The levy money.
So,
not the tax dollars, specific money tied
the
to the levy.
But collected from the taxes.
Yes.
Okay. So, this is the building, and it's not being
the old Rite Aid on South Main.
Right.
We don't have money to retrofit it right now.
Don't have money to retrofit.
We don't have money.
Right, because of the financial issues in the city, they cannot borrow the money they need to do what they need to do to make that a fire station at this point. So somehow now, they're going to rent this building out, which they do own, because they have paid the money to buy that,
yes,
to Goodwill. Now here's
yes,
what...
becoming landlords.
Yeah, but now, okay, now I understand the point...
So our taxpayer dollars that we said should go for fire purposes only, that, you know, equipment... building, trucks, whatever, has now turned us into, or they're trying to turn us into a landlord with it.
Well, here's the thing. I understand everybody's complaints about this might be illegal, and maybe it is. I don't know. I'm sure Mark Russell will speak on it tonight.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't put any faith in that man whatsoever when it comes to saying what's right and what's wrong.
Well, I'm not going to say...
I'll see him in court tomorrow as far as that goes.
Well, I'm not going to say it's illegal, but here's what I'm going to say. And this is what I don't understand. And I understand everybody's complaint.
Let's agree that it's ugly. We don't have to agree that it's illegal.
It's an ugly...
It's ugly.
Well, yeah. Here's what I don't get. About this. And again, the things that people have touched on that I've seen over the weekend about this, about it may be illegal or they shouldn't be doing this because this was going to be the fire station, or those things. Okay, aside from all of that, here's a question I have about this, which I really don't understand. Okay, this was purchased for the fire station. The city owns it. And
remember, that was a very rushed deal also, and it was like, we've got to do this right now because if we don't, then we're going to miss the opportunity. And we didn't really have the money, and the money kind of, okay, if we spend it now, then we can get some of it back. And we never got some of it back. And remember, it was real, I don't want to say shady, but it was confusing when they were trying to purchase that building.
Well, right. But what I don't understand about this particular deal going down tonight, okay, the city purchased it for the fire station, and they own it. Okay, now at some point, Goodwill had to believe, or the city had to let them know, that this building was a possibility for rent. Because why would Goodwill approach the city and say, can we rent that building?
Goodwill has been purchasing a lot of the empty Rite Aid buildings around. I know, I'm pretty sure they grabbed the one in Mount Gilead. And someone posted that they purchased the one in Galleon also.
Well, okay, and that's fine. All I'm saying is
never mind.
But this one has already been purchased. And if you live in Marion, you certainly know what it was purchased for because of all the kerfluffle around it. So why would Goodwill ever approach the city about renting?
Do you think Goodwill approached the city?
Well, that's what I can't figure out. And then I have to say, well, why would the city approach Goodwill? How would they know that Goodwill needed a building? I just don't understand how this all came to be.
Well, I'm not saying, like, this is underhanded or anything, but the people that all run this city and, you know, they all, I can't say they all associate with one another, but, you know, the mayor knows the people that run Goodwill, or the people that run Goodwill know someone that knows the mayor or know someone that worked for the city. And I'm not saying there's anything underhanded there. I'm just saying that maybe, you know, I'm thinking the city is obviously looking at the revenue portion of this.
Well, of course.
But if the building makes money, shouldn't the money only go back to the fire department?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a discussion. I just don't quite get how this all came to be a thing. Because
that's a good question. Like, and now, not only how did it become a thing, but tonight they're going to have their special meeting that they called at 6 o'clock. And you know they're planning on passing it through because it's already on the agenda for the full meeting. So they're going to pass it through tonight with just, you know, very limited, or try to, with very limited conversation on the topic. I'm pretty sure our airport lands and buildings guy is my new councilman who's been on council for, 2 weeks now? A week? 2 weeks? They'll pass it through tonight with very little discussion, and they've also slapped an emergency clause on this, too. And this is where people really need to start stepping up and paying attention. When they add an emergency clause to something, typically, without an emergency clause, it takes something 30 days to go into effect. And the reason for that is it gives the people a chance to referendum, to organize, and if this is something we don't like, then we can appeal it. When they throw emergency clauses on there, it gives us 7 days to organize and get together and repeal and appeal on this. So they're throwing all these emergency clauses on everything, and they're telling us it's for the health, the safety, or the welfare of the city of Marion. How does Goodwill renting the fire station, well, the old Rite Aid building, how does that benefit the health, the safety, or the welfare of the citizens of Marion? And they did the same thing with the Dollar General, the land that they're trying to annex down here at the end of Silver. They're telling us that's an emergency for the health, the safety, or welfare of the city of Marion. And those are the only ways that they're supposed to be able to use an emergency clause. But they throw them on everything.
Well, how long is the lease for?
It doesn't say. It says short term. Now, in the accounting world, that's a year or less.
Okay.
Short term lease. So, but what's Goodwill going to do in a year in there?
Well, I don't know. Is it because the new building's not ready and maybe their lease is up where they are?
They're going to move an entire store there?
I don't know. That's what I say. I don't.
What's going in on Burke's Road is going to be a warehouse. That's not going to be a store.
Well, is that?
That's going to be like a centralized warehouse.
Well, I can't imagine the Rite Aid would be a warehouse.
No. The ones that they're buying up, they're turning into stores.
Right, right.
So if they're going to put a store down there, are they going to close it in a year?
Well, see, I don't understand. I think somebody should ask how long this lease is going to be for, because that's also going to tell you how long this fire station is going to be put off. And I don't really get this in general. I mean, I don't think that the building sitting empty is doing anybody any good, but
no.
I think people are very passionate about the fire station, and that's what they want to see happening down there. Yeah. And
the YMCA, when they opened that back up for the wreck, and I totally believe in that purpose. My son helped get the building together. He is a team leader at the YMCA. I have absolutely no issue with what's going on at the rec. I think it's a beautiful thing. When they leased that building, we were told that we were going to pay the utilities for the building, and that was it, and that the YMCA would handle any repairs that needed done to the building. And I remember Lois Fisher and I were sitting near each other, and she said, "Boy, I wish I could sign a lease like that. You know, where you get your tenant to do all of the repairs, and, you know, you just cover a little bit of the utilities." Well, that wasn't true, because we've now put money into the roof and into the HVAC system at the rec. No issue with how that money was spent. I think it's a good way to spend our money. However, when it comes to the fire, to the Rite Aid building that's now going to become a Goodwill, when the roof starts leaking, are we going to be paying to fix the leaking roof for our tenant Goodwill? Do we have money to be paying to fix the leaking roof for our tenant Goodwill? When the pipes freeze and they burst, you know, I'm just throwing out examples. But, you know, when the HVAC goes bad and it needs repaired, are we going to be repairing that for Goodwill?
Well, here's the problem. This is in a series of bad announcements. Because, number one, you have the bus fare raise, which is coming on January 1st.
That hearing is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
But at the bus station, and if you need a ride, please call them to get up there.
But what I want to say, was sprung up last week. And then curbside recycling, which was not even on the agenda last week, which has brought a lot of response. I think it ended up being over 100 comments on our page about the elimination of curbside recycling, which is a lot of response for a city story.
Yes.
You know, that was sprung up and not on any agenda and not even announced it was going to be talked about last week.
Because they didn't want people there to talk to.
Well, right.
Fingers at them.
But now, if people want to show up tonight, they certainly can about that, and I have a feeling some will. And then you throw this on top of all that, it just is a bad series of events, because you're talking about things, okay, raising the bus fares, people are going to feel that's raising the fares on people who don't have the money. The getting rid of curbside recycling, people are passionate about it, whether people believe that or not. And now you got the fire station, which that's exactly what people see that for. That's what people feel they voted for, and now
that
you're turning it into a good
one. I pulled up the ordinance. I have the ordinance, and nowhere does it say that we're to buy buildings to turn ourselves into landlords.
No, and that's again what I'm saying. These are issues that are not going to be seen very well. Now, I guess you can stand up and say, well, you know, this isn't going to be popular. Well, you're right. It's not going to be popular.
But again, as you and I just discussed, how long is the lease for? How much money is going to be brought in? Will the money go back into the fire department? Will this help us get the fire department built faster because we're going to make money off of that asset?
Well, see, on top of all that, you've got five firefighters missing from where they should be.
Eight
police officers. I mean, it's really not a good time in Marion right now, and it's bleeding over into other things.
We've still got the pending. We haven't heard anything back from the state yet, and now we're rolling up on 2 months since we submitted it. It'll be 2 months next week.
Right. So I just think...
that can't bode well. That's not them going, oh, these people have it under control. It's just taken us 2 months to tell them that.
Well, it sounds to me like the state is saying you have got to create more revenue streams because you have got to pay this money back quicker. And
okay,
maybe
I wonder about, like, the Goodwill thing with the emergency. I'm wondering if they're passing it through on an emergency because the state, you give it much longer and the state's going to have oversight over it. And the state might say, no, you're not allowed to use this for that purpose. I don't know. That's just me theorizing.
Well, I don't know, honestly, if they'll be able to get that. Every time they've tried to do an emergency clause as of late, it hasn't worked. So I don't know that they'll get that done tonight. I really don't.
Well, they shouldn't, because it's not fair to the people. They're standing, they're going to try to limit our speech. That's next week. Okay, they're going to try to limit our speech.
And I'm not sure that's going anywhere either.
Well, you know, they keep citing this case in there. And the funny thing is the case just settled last month, in the month of April. The case just made it through appeals court. So they're acting like this case is just so long-standing. April 18th was the day that it was this decision came down that they keep pointing to. And the funny thing is, I just found out the attorney that the city hired to fight me, which I'll see tomorrow, he's actually a city council member where he lives. So when they said they had input from outside council that they had hired for another reason, it's the attorney that's fighting me. He's a city council member where he lives. And, you know, I've known all along that they were allowed to limit our time to speak. It's called a limited public forum. I've done a lot of reading about these different types of forums and these different types of scenarios. And they are most definitely, it is completely legal for them to allow or to limit the amount of time that we can speak
right.
in a limited public forum. However, content, they cannot limit our content. They cannot, and this is what they need to realize. When y'all get up there and read your happy resolutions and everybody claps, that's going to have to end. There can be no more clapping, because we cannot clap for your resolution that you're happy about, and then you gavel somebody in the audience for clapping when they agree with something someone else said. If someone is getting up there crying, talking about how their house burnt down, they need to be gaveled and told they're being too emotional, because and told to stop. Because if someone gets up there and raises their voice out of frustration, they're also showing emotion. It can't be, you can't pick and choose what emotion you like. It's all or nothing. So they need to realize that when they're doing this.
Well, as
if you want to gavel the audience for laughing or whatever, don't sit up there and tell any jokes and make sure that the whole room doesn't laugh.
Well, as I think Aaron Rollins said last week, he said, we have rules in place now, mm-hmm. and if you have a strong president, we have had people thrown out of these meetings from the audience. We've had council people thrown out of these meetings. If you have somebody in control of the meeting, this is not a problem, and this is not necessary.
You know, when meetings, when they speak to us respectfully, it seems to get returned. But when they speak to us defensively and offensively and interrupt us, and talk down to us, that's what they get matched with.
Well, yeah, but as I've said before, what is so strange about this is it's not like, there may have been a period where it was all nicey-nice, but there have been many periods over the last quarter century where people came up there and said horrible things. And I'm not saying what's being said now is horrible, but people have called councilmen and commissioners
names.
People have gotten up there and said things.
Worse than jackass.
Right, but in those days, I think they took it a little easier. They understood they were public officials and, you know, somebody was just spouting off. And also, the president, had the meeting under control, so they would shut it down if somebody did that. And I don't understand why that has not happened in the last 2.5 years, and that is what is causing this problem.
Because Mary doesn't understand viewpoint discrimination. She doesn't understand that she's not supposed to gavel one person for saying something that she doesn't like while allowing someone else to ramble on for 15 minutes that she does.
Yeah, but I don't see her gaveling anybody. I mean, I've seen people turn.
She's gaveled me plenty of times.
Well, but I'm saying people have turned to her and looked at her as if, why aren't you doing anything? And, you know, so I don't know.
That's who they all picked. That's their Republican leader that they chose for council. But they need to realize, I'm telling you, You cannot, there will be no more laughing, there will be no more clapping for anything. Nothing. Because you cannot pick and choose what people laugh and cheer and cry and whatever over. It will be an all or nothing. And that's what they're going for. And they want to do all or nothing. You're going to set themselves up for a lot of lawsuits.
Well,
And Ralph Smith can think they're frivolous. You know what? I guess we'll find out tomorrow. whether it's frivolous or not.
Well, Ralph, I don't even think Ralph would vote for this, to be honest with you. I don't think he understood a lot of it last week, the rules and how it's supposed to come down and so on and so forth. I don't think he was all that hot on it, honestly.
Well, I like how Danny Clark was, when he was first selling this, he was talking about how it was going to be all rooted in case law and Supreme Court decisions and everything else, and then he comes back and says, I was totally surprised that no rules existed about public speaking. Really? You're totally surprised by that, and you're a public official.
Well, I don't understand that argument.
That's how the man that called me a stupid bitch is leading the charge for limiting speech. And he finally admits it's not because he's just trying to give us the ability to speak. It's because he wants to cut down on the noise in the back of the room. Now, if any of them talk out of order, you know, like they don't raise their hand and they're not the acknowledged speaker or whatever, I'm telling you, I'm going to just nail them on all of this stuff continually. So they are just setting themselves up for a world of just litigation, continual litigation. And then what are they going to do when we start showing up in t-shirts that say F you and bite me and everything else? They going to make us take them off?
Well, I don't know. I think they've got it kind of easy, to be honest with you, because I think the implementation of streaming these meetings has caused a lot of people to stay home. So that's to their benefit, because they don't have to deal with some of the arguments that people actually had to come to meetings to discuss in the past. I don't know how the curbside recycling thing will go tonight. I would assume that would bring some people. I don't know what amount, but I would assume it would bring...
People show up tonight. I can't be there. I'm going to be in Cleveland. So I would love to be there for the situation with the fire station. I'll be watching. So please, people, show up. Please, people, if you can make it tomorrow to the Marion Area Transit, please go defend the people who can't make it there and listen to what has to be said and let us know. You know, I don't know. Like, we've just got to stand up and advocate for ourselves and for each other at this point, because it seems like every week they're finding another way to disrupt our lives without our input, and now they're even trying to limit our ability and our input.
Well, I'm interested to see how council reacts to this tonight. Tonight will be the first time that the new 4th Ward councilman, Nathan Stevenson, will see how he votes. And boy, he's got some things to vote on tonight. That'll be interesting. And we'll also find out how some of these other people who have been up in the air on votes. Ralph Smith has certainly not been all in the yes column. Thad Smith has not been all in the yes column. Aaron Rollins certainly is not all in the yes column. Kreider is not all in the yes column. And I think they're going to have a hard time getting some of these things suspended, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty sure the annexation will go through tonight, because this is the third reading. I do think it's noteworthy that there has been a Phase 2 environmental study done on the land now, which means the Phase 1 environmental study warranted the next phase, because they're expensive and they don't do those unless there's a reason. I've seen the machines down there. They've been down there doing soil.
Well, on the whole, you know, if they do annex that land, it'll be what it'll be, and if they can't build there, they can't build there, and I guess she'll be stuck with the land. So, you know, there you go. And now she'll owe, you know.
If they try to spend one more dollar of tax dollars to clean that up, I say we mutiny.
Well, I mean, there's that right now, which could end up being a bad situation. I'm not sure that this Rite Aid situation and the old fire station renting it out to Goodwill, leasing it out to them, I'm not sure that's going to be a happy moment. Because
if
I would think
they wanted
Goodwill,
to annex that land, could they at least mow it? That would be nice if they would mow the land.
Well, I would just think that the Goodwill thing tonight, that for a Goodwill to go into where the fire station is supposed to go, they're going to have to do some changes to that building.
Yeah. And, I mean, how long is that going to take? Goodwill is not going to pack up and move their store in June 1st or July 1st. I mean, you would think it would take, I think it's fair to say, 30 to 60 days to get that set to go to an active store. I mean, because you're going to need to see if all your plumbing works out, your electrical fixtures, all that sort of stuff, because it has sat empty for a little while.
Yeah, but the look is bad on that. It's just bad. Because
very bad.
With the fire station being down five people, and we're not getting the fire station because of the city's financial issues, just to rent this building out, I don't think that that looks very well. You know, I guess it'd be a revenue stream. I don't know what they're going to pay, and we don't know what the term is. But I just think it looks rather bad.
Okay, and if we don't know, and this all just popped up on Thursday, do you think councils, like, read the lease or looked at it or anything? Do you think they're just going to look to Mark Russell? Mark Russell will go, yeah, everything's fine, just sign it.
Well, I don't know. I think there
things to do regularly.
I think there would be some people who would have some, because you've got to have, what is it, how many votes to suspend something? Seven?
Seven.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll get seven. I don't see how they get seven, because I don't think Kreider would vote for it, and I don't think Rollins would vote for it, just out of the idea that it is being sprung up so quick. So I don't know if they would do that.
But you still got your seven if they vote no.
If those two, but then you can only have one other person vote no, and I have noticed that Thad Smith has voted no on...
Thad Smith also said that if the land got annexed down there, that the property owners would be responsible to clean it up. Well, they haven't been responsible since 2022, so why would they be now?
Well, right, but he didn't go along with I don't think he went along with suspending the rules.
No,
on
he
that.
Didn't. He has his moments of... He's almost there. He has his moment.
And Ralph has voted against suspending the rules a few times. So
if he thinks this will bring money into the city, though, I think he'll vote for it.
Well, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. And we don't know about Stevenson. Don't know. You know.
I haven't forgot what his name was.
He says he deplores politics. Well, here we go. And I'm sure the discussion tonight will be what it will be. I just don't know. And I don't know where Dichtel will be in that, to be honest with you. Because Dichtel hasn't been all in on the suspension of a lot of things.
Yeah, I just hope that they take a minute and think about, we're going to try to limit your speech next week. We're going to try to pass that on, while we're also limiting your ability to speak on something by springing a special meeting and putting it on the agenda. So hopefully, no, they won't suspend the rules.
And tonight, isn't also tonight the first time that the extended terms will appear in front of council?
I believe so.
Yeah. So that goes on tonight. Now, remember, it's 6 p.m., second floor of City Hall. It'll start 30 minutes early because of the special conversation in regard to the fire station. Rite Aid. Well, thanks for calling. We'll be back right after this.
Take care, Scott.
Don't go anywhere.
Star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?